Economic Stimulus and Public Policy. Representative Bates is here. We're going to change the agenda briefly and open a work session, open a public hearing on LC 29, and we'll call forward Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This will be a very short presentation, just a few moments you have in front of your packet about...
Representative, could you state your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Representative Alan Bates, now from Ashland, and if things don't change, still District 5, used to be some other number. This will be a very short and quick summary of LC 29-1, and I'll add a few points to it that people may not have heard before. This is sort of a one-shot situation because we're going to be in special session. It gives us an opportunity to run a referral out to the people. Some of us may not feel it's a one-shot deal. We may be back and have multiple chances to pass this, but hopefully we won't. This is a referral to the people concerning term limits. This referral basically says that you can have 12 years any way you want, out for, and you can come back in. There's no lifetime ban. If you're appointed to a position, it does not count against those term limits. There's no retroactivity in this referral. And it is an LC 29-1 is for the November ballot, not the May ballot. Hopefully, also in front of you is a paper prepared by Committee Services that talks about what U.S. term limits has accomplished in this country in the last 10 years. The most telling point there for us is what happened in Nebraska. Nebraska has had this brought to them three times, the most recent year 2000. In the year 2000, they finally got term limits passed through an initiative to people, despite heavy opposition, and that term limit was for 8 years, lifetime ban. You also know Idaho recently overturned term limits. That was a statutory change. It was overturned by the legislature in Idaho, I believe, last week over the veto of the governor. In Montana, they are also right now in the process of challenging term limits in the courts. I talked to Chris Christensen, who was a friend of mine and a senator there, who was one of the members challenging that in court. They expect to win that, and they are timing in such a way that it will be past the time you can have initiative on the ballot this year when they get their opinion. So having said all that, it is a significantly mixed bag out there right now. The real question before us, I believe, is whether or not, number one, if term limits, and especially the initiative that is now going towards the ballot, were presented to the people of Oregon in November, if they would vote in favor of it. That is a difficult question to answer. The present term limits initiative that's being put out is the same as we have now and is probably, but not necessarily, retroactive. We wish to go forward with an alternative to the people that is a reasonable term limits, one which we feel that would fulfill what the voters would potentially want if they want term limits, but would be one that would work for both the people of the state of Oregon as well as this legislative body. As we all know, the present limit on term limits, or the present term limits, is leading to what I believe to be a dysfunctional situation, at least in the House, in which you're there for 3 years, you can't develop the leadership in that sort of time that you potentially need, and you have no long-term memory other than what is in the bureaucracy and in the lobby. For those reasons, I think this is a good referral, one which should pass the floor for discussion and potentially going out to people as a referral in November. We'd be glad to take any questions you might have, Mr. Co-Chairs, and thank you for your time.
Any questions?
Just one.
Senator Duckett.
Thank you. Why November rather than May?
Again, a difficult decision and a good question. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senator Deckard, the decision on this is for several reasons. One, to get it on the May ballot, we'd have to pass a statutory change to allow us to get it there, which would be somewhat difficult but not impossible to do. We'd have a very short time to work with the bill. If it were to pass in May, anything that passed in November would supersede it, so that we'd still be in a position that, without supersession, we would be potentially back where we started from, having gone to the trouble of doing it. Also, some of us kind of like the idea of two ballot measures being out at the same time. There's two or three things that can happen in those situations. One, neither one may pass, or if one passes, it would more likely be ours than theirs.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much.
We have call forward Ted Piccolo.
I'm Ted Piccolo. I'm from Sherwood, Oregon, and oddly enough, I'm the chief petitioner of the current measure that was just discussed, which the 6 and 8, 12 years overall. And I'm somewhat unprepared here today, as I just heard about this kind of through the grapevine, this hearing, so I raced down here to at least say something. And that's it. I would obviously oppose this particular measure going out for a couple of reasons. For one, the way that we got here, many of us feel it was pretty disingenuous in the approach that actually brought us to this point in time. And by the legislature sending out something that is drastically different than what was than what the people had placed on the ballot before, we think is really a step in the wrong direction, and would end up actually being a black eye on the legislature. This particular, from what I've seen briefly, that there's starts the clock all over again, rewards the litigious nature of the legislature's previous move last spring, and goes to a 12-year, once again, a 12-year limit, which really is no limit. 12 years is more than a decade, and the way most of us in the term limits movement feel, that at that point, that's really no limit. And that's really all I have to comment on at this point. I haven't had the opportunity to really dig as deep into this as I would like to. However, just my encouragement that this does not make it out to the November ballot.
Thank you. Procedurally, this committee doesn't have the ability to move something to the floor.
Okay.
This committee will make recommendations to a Senate and House subsequent session committees that will then refer to the House or Senate. So any questions?
So you could actually recommend that this not go.
Questions?
Or, Mr. Chairman, we could pass a motion without recommendation. We could forward it without recommendation.
Correct. I believe so. Correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify in LC 29? Seeing none, we will close the public testimony, open a work session on LC 29. What are the wishes of the committee?
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion.
You're ready. Okay.
I'd move that we recommend LC 29-1 for introduction in special session.
Co-Chair Wilson has moved that we recommend LC 29 for introduction into special session. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Hold on. There's lots of discussion. Representative Smith.
Yes, Chair. I'd like to ask, if we move this then on that motion, it goes to another committee and will be voted out of that committee before it comes to the floor?
I believe so. I have met, I can speak on the Senate. Under Senate rules, the motions that are passed on the various committees this week are assigned to the President, and a bill is assigned. The President makes a decision at that point of to what committees, session committees, that it's will then work the bill further or not work the bill, and then it'll come through the Senate floor. I believe the same procedures in place for the House.
Well, thank you. I have always been consistent on voting with the people, and they voted for term limits and wanted term limits, and I agree that it should be something that the voters do, so I will be giving you a courtesy vote to move it on to the next committee. I reserve my right to vote no.
Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I listened to an eloquent speech on the floor of the House and agreed with it that term limits have not added to the discussion nor the quality of the legislature. And we've experimented with it since 1992. A number of people have left as part of that, and a lot of good experience has left. And so I am against term limits. I would I'll support this motion to allow the bill, you know, to allow a bill to be drafted, but I do have reservations about any term limits. If there are term limits, this is probably the best form of term limits, but I do have reservations. Thank you.
Representative Hayden. Is there any further comments, questions? Will clerk call the roll?
Senator Dessert?
Aye.
Senator Mesley?
Aye.
Senator Metzger? Senator Nelson? Senator Hayden?
Aye.
Representative Marks?
Aye.
Senator Smith?
I think I'll vote no.
Senator Clemente?
No.
Chair Wilson?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We will close the work session on LC 29. And we will open a public testimony on LC 17. And I will call you up by acronym. OHCAOBONDHS. You'd all come forward at the same time and tell us about your wonderful discussions in the hall or the cafe or gift shop.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Jim Carlson representing Oregon Healthcare Association. The acronyms were for the Oregon Board of Nursing and the Department of Human Services. You have before you legislative concept draft 17, and I can tell you a little bit about what the bill does, what we are intending to do with it, and then about some of the conversations we've been having over the last 2 hours in regard to the bill. It directs the Board of Nursing to revise the nursing assistant training program standards in Oregon law, specifically directing the board to update training curriculum based upon current standards of practice for nursing assistants, provide quicker integration of nursing assistants into clinical practice, and to eliminate any outdated or unnecessary topics and skills from current training curriculum. And it gave the board a timeline of June 30th, 2002 to complete this process. The reason the bill is needed is there's been a critical shortage of certified nursing assistants in Oregon and actually across the country in recent years. A national study that was released late last year shows that there were close to 600 vacant nursing assistant positions in Oregon nursing facilities alone. And according to our estimates, when you look in other care settings, hospitals, assisted living centers, home health agencies, we think conservatively there's probably 1,000 to 1,500 nursing assistant jobs out there that could be filled in Oregon today if there was an adequate supply of nursing assistants to fill those jobs. Oregon has one of the lowest numbers per capita of nursing assistants to the population age 65 and up of any state in the country. And so you can look at the data and it confirms that the shortage is particularly acute here in Oregon. We've had a series of some pretty intensive conversations over about the last 2 hours with representatives from the Board of Nursing and from the Department of Human Services, and we had reached agreement on basically the major components of the bill moving forward, a commitment from the Board of Nursing and the Department of Human Services without the need actually for the bill. And we have received a commitment that they will look at adoption or attempt to see if we can move to quicker integration of nurses' assistants into clinical training prior to classroom training. And what the issue there is, so the committee understands, is the federal law, the federal requirement is that a nursing assistant have 16 hours of classroom training before they can go out onto the floor and start seeing and doing and engaging in clinical training. Not direct patient care without supervision or before they've been tested on skills, but getting out where they can actually work on the floor and start engaging in the clinical aspects of training. Under Oregon law, we've had a 40-hour standard, so we spend a whole week of classroom time before nursing assistants who are being trained can get out there and actually see and experience and have things demonstrated, explained to them actually out in the setting. And we've seen some fairly significant attrition rates after that week of classroom training. When we get folks out onto the floor, some folks at that point say, this isn't what I thought I was signing up for. And I think, as a lot of us know, and we learn more about adult education, seeing, doing, experiencing are things that clearly help on people learning skills and learning competencies as part of the training program. The board has agreed to take an intensive look at that component of this on a fast-track basis. We don't have any hard and fast agreement around a specific number of hours per se. That will be left up to a subcommittee of the board and the board to make that decision. But we have received a commitment that they are going to address this issue in the very near term with subcommittee stakeholders. And then in regard to the curriculum revision and review and the other things that would go along with that, we have agreed on a timeline that would mirror closely what was laid out in LC 17, where we're going to have some rules ready for filing by June and ready to be implemented and adopted by hopefully first part of September, I believe is what we discussed. And with that, it concludes my testimony, and I don't know if Joan or Cindy have anything they want to add, or if there are questions.
Go ahead.
Chair, members of the committee, I'm Joan Bouchard, and I'm representing the Board of Nursing, and I'm just here to concur with what Jim said, that we are going to work together on this issue, and I think we can come up with some agreements that will be in the best interest of the public.
Thank you.
And thank you. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Cindy Hannum, and I oversee the Office of Licensing and Quality of Care for DHS, and that includes all of the regulations for long-term care facilities, community-based care. And I also concur. We actually reached a very good agreement. I think we'll be very productive. This is a very important issue, and we are happy to work on it.
Your questions. Senator Deckard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and whoever wishes to comment. One of the things that I liked about the bill was the stimulus effect that it would have, especially on unemployment figures. And so I'm just a little concerned of the September date, and I don't know if we're able to bump that forward at all, or if that is just set in concrete that September 1st would be the date for implementation.
Mr. Chair, Senator Deckard, I don't think that's set in concrete. Basically, in the discussions we had earlier today, we were trying to be sensitive to the board's timeline they need to complete their work. And I think that there's a strong desire on our part and some of the other stakeholders in the board to try to expedite this to the greatest extent possible. So from our standpoint, we share your concern and that we do want to see this addressed as rapidly as we can, because we have a severe workforce shortage that we need to have addressed, but it also means that there are opportunities for employment, and in these positions, due to federal Medicaid matching funds, we can pull down federal Medicaid matching funds that can help us cover, you know, roughly two-thirds of the training, wage, and benefit costs. And for a lot of you might remember the day and age when a nursing assistant might make minimum wage, $6.50, $7 an hour. These days, a lot of nursing assistants are being paid wages $10.50, $11.50 an hour with benefits. And so there are some excellent employment opportunities out there, and we need to do everything we can to attract people into this profession and to make sure they're adequately trained, but that we can train them in an efficient manner so that we can meet the needs to fill those positions. I don't know if...
So Jim, am I hearing that September 1st is the last date that it would be, or...
No later than.
The agreement was no later than. I'm an eternal optimist, Senator Deckard, so I'm holding out hope we might be able to move this process along faster than that. I think a lot of it's going to depend on the timelines of the board and the committee moving forward with this.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And an excellent way to conclude. Is
yes.
What's that?
Indeed.
We have two letters to enter into the record.
Yes. Mr. Chair, thank you. Two letters are at your place today, one from Catherine Shaver and one from OHSU School of Nursing with a number of signatures, and those will be entered into the record of today's meeting.
Okay. Is there anyone here else that would like to testify on LC 17? I think LC 17 is about to go away because we're going to do it by rule, which is a great way to end the day.
With
that, we conclude the public testimony, and we have no further business today. We adjourn.
Yeah.